I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
All right. Happy New Year. Merry New Year. Hope everyone had a great time, a great night. I hope everyone was safe and rocked it, had a couple of cocktails. I know you are ready for the new year and you're ready for the new episode of Talk is Jericho. It's the perfect remedy to cure your hangover. What do you need to eat when you have a hangover? A cheeseburger. What do you need to listen to while you're eating a cheeseburger after you have a hangover? Well, cheeseburger, of course. Cheeseburger from Ring of Honor, my brand new favorite wrestler. I love this guy just when I heard his name. I was like, anybody who has the balls to call himself Cheeseburger? And I was thinking it'd be some big fat guy or something like that. No, no, no. This is the real Cheeseburger. He's about 140 pounds soaking wet. He's got the greatest gimmick of all time, best ring gear. He's the ultimate underdog. Think Spike Dudley. Think Mikey Whipwreck. Think, what's that name? Colin Delaney. This is the new version of all those guys. We're talking about Cheeseburger. He does a little high flying. He does a little shooting. He hopes to wrestle in Japan one day. That's a big influence for him. He loves Japanese wrestling. He loves Japanese cheeseburgers. I never asked him about that. I don't think I did. But Cheeseburger, you're going to fall in love with him as much as I did. Cheeseburger, 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 Cheeseburger. But before we meet Cheeseburger, let me say thank you for hitting that subscribe button on iTunes. Subscribing helps me so much. And giving me a 5-star rating and giving me great comments helps Talk is Jericho get bigger and better. So take a minute to support this podcast by subscribing at iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and comment. We love to hear your feedback, so fire away. Hit me with your best shot. And if you're looking for a New Year's resolution, or maybe trying to decide how to spend some of that amazing Christmas cash that you got, I got something you can spend some money on that's going to change your life. You heard me talk about DDP yoga. You hear me talk about Diamond Dallas Page. You hear me talk about his program that changed my life. It actually saved both my wrestling and my music careers, which is a damn shoot. And now DDP, the Yoga Yoda, has just introduced his brand new app, the DDP Y Now app. Living a healthier lifestyle just got a whole lot easier. And this is one of the most well constructed apps I've ever seen. You can tell he spent a lot of time and a lot of money making this app. You go in there, it opens up all the doors to DDP Yoga. It's got all the workouts in there, all my DVDs, which are already obsolete. I don't have to carry them around with me anymore, which is great because my MacBook doesn't even have a DVD player in it. I had to buy a little DVD player to plug into my MacBook, to put the DVD in, to do DDP yoga. The thing skips. I've used it so many times, it's getting scratched up. Throw it all out the window because I got the new Fancy Pants DDPY Now app, okay? And you can get it too. You want to see the power of DDP yoga? I want you to go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho and check out the story of Jared. Unbelievable, okay? You got to watch this video. He lost 313 pounds in 17 months. Yeah, you heard me right. 313 pounds in 17 months, okay? He documented it with pictures and journal entries. He put it all together in a video. DDP Yoga changed his life, and it can change yours, all right? Just download the DDP Y Now app and give it a shot. This app's got everything you need. Exclusive live workouts with Diamond Dallas Page from the DDP Yoga Performance Center in Atlanta, Georgia. It's got an expanding archive of workouts for you to choose from. Stand-up is on there. Still my favorite. It's got nutrition guides, recipes, live cooking shows. DDP the chef, man. Plus, the app has Bluetooth heart rate monitor compatibility and detailed interactive fitness tracking to keep you motivated to reach them goals. You can even earn points within the app to redeem for special awards. The more workouts you do, the more points you get. The more points you get, the more free stuff you get. DDP Yoga merch. I don't know what else you're going to get there. You might even get a trip to the accountability crib. You heard all about that in the Jake the Snake documentary. You want everything. You got everything because Dallas has thought of everything with the DDPY Now app. Okay, you get it for iPhones, Androids, on the web. And if you buy the DDP Yoga program at ddpyoga.com/Jericho, you'll get 3 months of DDPY Now app for free. Okay, that's 3 free months of the DDPY Now app. What are you waiting for? Nothing. Go do it now. Go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Take advantage of this great offer for you sexy beast listeners of Talk is Jericho. DDP Yoga has changed tens of thousands of lives, including mine. I'm telling you, on the square, as a shoot, if you want to use wrestling talk, for reals, if you want to use street talk, this is the real deal, man. It helped change my life. It helped save my life. It can do it for you as well. Get in the best shape of your life. Go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho and get started today.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
Okay, so I want to start just kind of telling the story about how this all came about. Thanks. Sitting here with Cheeseburger.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, read the, you know, dirt sheet sometimes, or look online, see what's going on in Ring of Honor, mm-hmm. or, you know, other companies. And I keep seeing this name of Cheeseburger. And I'm like, I don't know anything about this guy, but he's now my new favorite guy just because his name is Cheeseburger. So I kind of told some of my friends in the business that are around. As a matter of fact, I was in, we were in Japan, and some of the Ring of Honor guys were there. Young Bucks were there.
Yeah.
And I was like, where's Cheeseburger? Like, oh, Cheeseburger to make. I said, I love Cheeseburger. I said, Cheeseburger probably love the fact that you love Cheeseburger. So then I'm finally watching Ring of Honor one night, and I actually see the illustrious Cheeseburger. Knew I had to have you on my show, so it's great to have you, Cheeseburger.
Thank you for having me. That match was, the match you saw is actually my first win in Ring of Honor. So that was
good. Your first win ever.
Yeah, first win.
And that was against?
Bro Bob Evans. I put him through a table and won by count out.
Now here's the thing with Cheeseburger. Now, like I said, not ever really knowing much about you, and we'll get all into it. You see Cheeseburger on TV, and it's very much the tradition of Spike Dudley, mm-hmm. or Rockstar Spud, yeah. or a lot of the very Colin Delaney.
Oh yeah,
the small little underdogs. And dude, you are a skinny guy.
Oh yeah.
So tell me, first of all, just right off the bat, how did you get the name Cheeseburger?
Okay, so the name Cheeseburger started as a, before it became a ring name, it was my nickname for a long time. I started training with Ring of Honor in October 2010, and right off the bat, as soon as my friend Rhett Titus, he saw me, and his first reaction was, damn, that boy needs to eat some cheeseburgers. And they just, my first show, they started calling me Cheeseburger, and it's been my nickname ever since.
What did you think when you found out your wrestling name was going to be Cheeseburger?
Oh, I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated it so much. Actually, I had another gimmick before that. I wrestled under a mask under the name Leech Landa.
Leech?
Yeah. I had no idea what the gimmick was. I don't know what I was trying to do.
You're like a bloodsucker in the lake or something? Like a leech?
It didn't look anything like a leech. It was just a goofy mask gimmick, and it went nowhere. So
Leech London?
Landa.
Landa.
After the Landa name came from Colonel Hans Landa from A Glorious Bastard, which is my
gotcha.
Favorite movie of all time.
Okay, yeah. cool. Gotcha. So I would have to say, though, just being a bystander here, that Cheeseburger is a much better name than Leech Landa. Because you remember it more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you hated it at first.
I hated it at first. It's an interesting story how it became my ring name. So January 2013, Charlie Haas was he was like the big heel in Ring of Honor. And they did a segment where I would make my unofficial debut where Charlie Haas comes. And we're in Baltimore in front of like 700, 800 people. Charlie Haas comes out and he's on the mic yelling at the fans. And the fans are throwing streamers, throwing toilet paper in the ring at him. He's flipping them off. They're flipping him off. It's chaos. So the segment goes, I slide in the ring, and I start taking the toilet paper out. And he looks at me and starts berating me for cutting in on his time and calls me in the ring.
So you're like the ring crew that's cleaning up the streamers, yes. and toilet paper and et cetera, yes. right?
And so Charlie Haas, calls me into the ring, starts yelling at me on the mic. And completely off the cuff and unplanned, he calls me Cheeseburger in the middle of the ring. And the entire crowd just starts chanting Cheeseburger.
It's too easy.
Yeah.
So is it cheeseburger or is it cheeseburger?
Cheeseburger. Cheeseburger. Now they started doing the New Day clap with it. With
cheeseburger.
Yeah.
So is this starting to become kind of a cult thing where the fans in Ring of Honor are digging you?
Oh, yeah. I think it works because it started really organic. Just like I said, did it completely off the cuff, and the crowd started chanting it. And once he beat me up and I got to the back, they were like, I think we have something here, and they just ran with it.
So you were just supposed to be kind of like a young boy at ringside.
Yeah.
And what was your wrestling name at that point? Was it still Leech Launder? Did you have
something else? Yeah, I wasn't wrestling in Ring of Honor at that time. Right. I still hadn't made my debut. So nobody in the crowd knew I wrestled under a mask like on the indies. But It was just supposed to be like a nothing segment where he just beats me up and that was the end of it. But that kind of launched my entire Ring of Honor career.
And that's how it works. Yeah. Like look at the whole Yes movement, for example, just started kind of organically, like you said. And that's what gets you over with the crowd the most when it's something that they almost started.
Yes. Yeah.
So what was the mindset of the Ring of Honor office powers that be to have you hired? Were you going to be a ref? Were you going to be a wrestler? What were they thinking?
I'm a true product of the dojo system. Like I was completely trained from scratch and I started October 2010 in the dojo. And I actually wanted to start training to be a manager because when I, of course, loved wrestling, I always wanted to be a wrestler, but I always thought, well, I'm way too small to do this. So maybe I can be in the wrestling business as a manager. Mm. But the managers at the dojo, they have to go through the same training, learn all the chain wrestling, locking up, bumps. And once I started bumping, that was when I started falling in love with it. I was just like, I might as well just stick with it and become a wrestler.
So when you mentioned that you're a big wrestling fan, you grew up here, we're here in Trenton, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So when did you start thinking, like, this is something that I want to do?
My junior year of high school. Mm-hmm. When I started, I was still a senior in high school. I actually still had braces on when I first started. training, but I had actually stopped watching wrestling from about 05 to late 09. And once I during my junior year of high school, once I started getting back into wrestling, I remember why I loved it. I remember the last memory I have of wrestling before I wanted to pursue it was a. When I first got back into it, I watched the last Raw of 09, and I just remember seeing Sheamus standing over Cena with the title before, because they were setting up for their TLC match and the tables match. And I watched TLC, and I just fell in love with it all over again after being on such hiatus.
So this is something that, like you mentioned, you know that you're small, and you look at yourself in the mirror, and you're like, okay, I'm probably not going to do this. Or did you think it doesn't matter how small I am? I mean, Rey Mysterio Jr. is a small mm-hmm. guy, and Mikey Whipwreck was a small guy, mm-hmm. but they have more yeah. meat on them than you do, right?
Oh, yeah.
Were you thinking, still in the back of your head, I can do this? Or what was your kind of mindset, even?
I thought I could do it. I knew I could do it. Like, I knew if I put the work in and keep working at it, I could do it. I knew it was going to be much harder, and I couldn't do a lot of things a lot of guys could. But I knew if I stuck with it, eventually good things would happen.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened. So where did you start training then?
Where? Oh, we're at the Ring of Honor Dojo in Bristol, Pennsylvania.
So when you show up there, and who's running the camp?
Delirious and Daisy Hayes.
Okay, so you show up there, and what do they say to you? Like, come on, dude, or what's the mindset there?
Well, I told them I wanted to be a manager. They're like, yeah, I could see that. And, but then after, I had been there for a few months, and then when I told them I wanted to start full-on wrestling training, Delirious and Daisy, they're really understanding. So they knew that's something I wanted to do, so they were completely okay with
it. Sure. Well, like you said, though, as your manager, you have to learn how to bump anyways. Yes. You think of the greats of all time, whether it's Bobby Heenan or Jim Cornette, they know how to bump as well. So you're thinking about being a manager. Who were your inspirations and your the guys that you wanted to kind of follow in the footsteps?
Paul Heyman, 100%.
Paul Heyman. Yeah. Okay, because even Paul Heyman's a pretty beefy guy.
Yeah.
Right? So are you good on the mic?
Actually, no. That's why being a manager is a I made a good decision not becoming the manager.
So you want to be a manager. Yeah. You're not good on the mic. Yeah. You weigh about 140 pounds. Because there's a lot of guys like you that show up in wrestling camp all the time that don't have any idea.
Yep.
You're kind of just oblivious to it.
Yeah, Yeah, I was 17. I didn't know what I was getting into.
I remember sometimes I'd go see, like, you know, you go to a cheap strip club and you'd see a girl there, like, you know, with the more rolls than a bakery. And you'd be like, what is she thinking? She's looking in the mirror. You look at, like, like the hottest stripper in the world, and there's a difference here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you're looking at guys who, like, John Cena or, you know, Triple H or Undertaker. They're big, big guys.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or you're mentioning Paul Heyman. That guy's the whiz on the stick as Bobby Heenan and all these type of guys. You had none of those things.
No. This is a kid that wanted to be in the wrestling business.
So it's lucky that they kept you around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you started in Ring of Honor, then, so you mentioned that your first TV appearance was with Charlie Haas. Mm-hmm. What were you doing before that?
Before that, in Ring of Honor or on the Indies?
Well, anything. Just tell me how you got started. You
know. In Ring of Honor, I was still, like you said, I would do different jobs. Like, I would run the spotlight. Being the student, I would run the spotlight. I would ring the bell. I would collect streamers out of the ring. All that. I would just do, like, man up a million different hats. I would just do whatever, like, needed to be done for that job. And elsewhere on the weekends, I would just wrestle in, like, small-time Indies, like in the PA. Sometimes I'd go down to North Carolina, Jersey, et cetera.
And this is as Leech Landa?
Yes.
And were you getting booked as a wrestler?
Yes, I was getting booked as a wrestler. Not very often, though, as Leech Landa. Not as much as now.
Are you a high flyer?
Yeah, for real. I'm all right.
I mean, you'd have to be.
Yeah.
Like, if you're showing up to work under a mask and you're a small guy, so what kind of moves were you doing?
I do a lot of springboards, stuff like that, a few dives here and there. Nothing too crazy. I really want to do a moonsault. I'm terrified of backflipping, though. And I did practice a 450 once in training, which came off pretty okay. Maybe bust that out every now and again.
That's harder than a moonsault.
You think so?
Yeah, I couldn't do a 450. You're talking about a front flip into a splash?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I couldn't do that.
I think I have the athletic ability, I think, to do a moonsault. I'm terrified of backflipping. Just the other day in training, we were practicing the back suplex flip on the feet, and every single time we do that, it absolutely terrifies me.
So you don't like having to do the one where you kind of look over your shoulder and look behind you?
Yeah, it's just such a weird motion. I hate like that going backwards motion, like with the flip, it terrifies me. But like doing a front flip into like a splash is...
And maybe it's interesting to me because I think everybody kind of has the little phobias of moves that they can and can't do. Like for me, I could never do a leg drop.
Really?
Never. I've never done a leg drop. I'm not going to say never. In 25 years of doing this, maybe three leg drops.
Do you mean like just like Hulk Hogan runner or like off the top?
Forget off the top. I'm talking just in the ring, just standing there and dropping down. Yeah, just I could never do it, you know? I remember one time I was in a cage match against Jerry Lawler. It was a dark match, and I couldn't think of anything to do, and I just did a leg drop. Like, this was like maybe 10 years ago, and I was like, nope, still never picked that up. So that was my mental block was the leg drop.
If it makes you feel better, I've never done a leg drop either.
That does make me feel better. Yeah, it does make. I've never done a 450.
Okay.
So there you go, cheeseburger.
I've never done it in a match. I did it like at training one day. It was actually the first day I did a springboard. Delirious was like, try a springboard. I was like, all right. And I got it. And I kept doing the springboard, and I managed to do a springboard. He's like, all right, now do a springboard 450.
Okay.
I didn't know if he was joking, but I pulled the mat out, and I did it a few times, and it came
out. So it's not even just a springboard. It's not even just a 450. It's a springboard 450.
Yes.
Wow. So this needs to be busted out in the next cheeseburger match.
Now I have to practice it next week.
Well, yeah, you have to practice it a lot. But you got to give it a name, though. It needs like the fast food or something like the Burger King or something along those lines.
I need to ask Steve Carino for that. He is the master of burger puns.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I was just we just had two shows that just got put up online, and one was in Lockport, New York, and one was in California, PA, which is like Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And in both my matches, Steve Carino was just nonstop with the burger puns.
Give me some.
I got busted open one match. It was just all ketchup stuff. Every time I threw a forearm, here comes the slider, stuff like that.
Just whatever it might be, right? So do you work? Are you working like quite often now in Ring of Honor?
Yes, I'm usually on all the TVs. I have yet to be on the pay-per-view or iPay-per-view yet, though, which is my next goal. But I'm usually on all the TVs and pretty much most of the house shows.
So your first victory was against...
Brew Bob Evans, who is actually my former tag partner. We just finished up our tag team split, and that was the end of our feud.
Okay, so that was, yeah, you put him through a table with a wicked punch. That's what I saw.
Actually, palm strike, which is another story.
Sorry, forgive me. What's the palm strike? Tell me about this.
Liger taught me his palm strike.
Okay, so Liger, when are you hanging out with Liger?
So Ring of Honor has this deal with New Japan where every year they're like around May, their guys will come. They'll bring like seven or eight guys in for like a few shows. And last year, I went with Delirious to pick him up from the airport, and they had Liger, Gedo, Nakamura, Okada, Tanahashi, and Kushida and Jado. And the next day, Jado, Gedo, and a few other guys, they wanted to go around Philly and see the Rocky stuff. So I actually have a picture of Gedo on the Rocky steps.
Looking for the Rocky statue.
Yep.
Yeah.
Rocky statue and the steps. And I took the New Japan guys around Philly with a friend of mine named Bert. And we spent all day with them. And then the next day, they gave me like a bunch of gifts as thank you. And I actually told all the other guys, except for Liger, when they asked me who my favorite wrestler was, it's Liger. And I guess they told him. So I guess the next day, he started taking a liking to me. And that Tuesday and that Wednesday, we had a two-day tryout camp with New Japan that was at. And the first day, I actually tried to do the palm strike in one of my matches, and it came off really bad. Mm-hmm. So the next day, a guy from New Japan, he goes, "Oh yeah, I heard you did the palm strike yesterday." I'm like, "Yeah, it came off really bad." He's like, "Oh, you should ask Liger-san to teach you." I'm like, "Think he would?" He's like, "Yeah, let me go with you, ask him." So we went and I asked Liger, and he said, "Yeah, I'll teach you." So he showed me how to do the palm strike, and it's
that's pretty cool. Yeah. You know, so he kind of showed you slowly and showed you. Were you practicing it on Liger?
No, on the guy from New Japan.
The young boy?
Yes. I did last year I did a four-day camp with Lance Storm in Charlotte. It had Lance Storm, Dr. Tom, Les Thatcher. And
really?
Yeah.
Was that like at one of the NWA convention or something like that?
Yes, it's that one, NWA Legends Camp.
How was that?
Amazing. I learned, it was completely exhausting because it was 4 days, and we stayed up late, and we had to be up at like 5 a.m. to get there. But it was an awesome experience just being around all those legends and getting to talk to them and learn.
Because both Lance and Dr. Tom are great, great trainers.
Oh, yeah. I love Dr. Tom.
Yeah.
We had a Q&A with Lance one of the days, and he talked about his time in Japan for a war.
Wrestling and Romance.
That's what
it stood for. It was Wrestling and Revolution, but they changed it for a period of time to Wrestling and Romance.
Oh, I never knew that.
Which is typical weird Japanese English, right? Yeah. Like Wrestling and Romance. And I was always like, well, am I the wrestling part or am I the romance part?
Yeah, what was the romance
part? The romance is what it meant was kind of like the idea of wrestling, the dream, the romantic dream of becoming a wrestler and the adventures and the possibilities. That was kind of the Japanese English equivalent, the romance. Of it, which kind of makes sense in a weird way when you think about it, you know? Yeah. So anyways.
So Lance, one of the days he had Q&A, and he was talking about his time in war, and he was saying how at one point, Tenryu changed his finish to just a straight jab, like a shoot jab to the jaw. And he said, like, he remembers when they were calling the match, Tenryu would go to a young boy finish, and say, "Finish on you." And the young boys would start freaking out because they knew they were going to get knocked out by Tenryu that night.
Yeah. His finish was an actual punch to the face. And that was for real.
Yeah.
I remember there was a guy called Big Titan. He worked for a while in FMW. He was a Calgary guy. He was
Did he wrestle under another name?
Probably best known for being the fake Razor Ramon.
Oh, that's where he was.
So he came to WAR, and he was a big star in FMW. But as you know, when you come from one company to another to establish dominance, the Tenryu went over, and the finish was a punch to the face. And I remember the magazine had you ever seen that, like when someone gets punched?
Yep, yep.
Like, and you can see like, you know, the cover of the Pantera record where the guy's face is over on one side. And that was Tenryu's finish.
Wow.
You know, so you brought that up because your palm strike is the same.
He just someone asked him about Japan, and he just brought that up, and I'll never forget that story just because it's so entertaining. And I remember when the Gedo and Jado one, they talked about Tenryu and in war and like getting knocked out by him. I think
kick you in the face so hard you could see the outlines of the boot laces on your forehead.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, he has his retirement show coming up soon.
Yeah, he was a great worker and a great boss. He was my second favorite boss, probably behind Vince. Him, Vince, Paco Alonso from Mexico and Tenru from Japan are probably my three favorites to work for. Paulie was great too, but as far as money and just the whole concept of it, Tenru was great. See, so you, now you can use your palm strike to be the next knockout punch. It's probably stiff as hell, isn't it?
Oh yeah, hit the young boys in the in our dojo with it.
You knock them out.
Yeah,
you're such a bully. See, that's pretty, and that's another thing too. We're laughing about the name, but I mean that is such an original, unique name, Cheeseburger, that people instantly like. I said I loved it before I even saw you. Like my kids, the video I posted. Who's your favorite wrestler? Cheeseburger.
Oh, I love that
because kids just like Cheeseburger.
I've had so many parents come up to me just like, oh, my kids love you. Like you're my kid's favorite wrestler. It's always so surreal to me. You know, like it's still kind of like a dream almost that like. People like kids like love me, you know?
Right, because kids love cheeseburgers.
Yeah,
you know. So tell us. I kind of saw some pictures of your ring gear. Once you finally were called Cheeseburger, and you start embracing it. So what kind of things? What's your ring gear that you wear?
I wear long tights, and I wear this like vest. And I love the vest just because it's a little bit different than everyone else. Like so many guys in Ring of Honor are like trunks and boots. I always try to be different, stand out. So like the gear I had on in the match you saw was like black spandex and like super shiny green. And on the back I actually had the words Legendary Shote as a tribute to Liger.
Legendary Shote?
Yeah.
Is that the palm strike?
Shote? Yeah, the Shote palm strike. And it was a tribute to Liger and my trainer Delirious with the black and green.
And on the lapel,
there's the cheeseburger.
There's the cheeseburger stuck
and on the and on the thighs too.
Cheeseburger on the thighs as well. So, and I see there's other pictures of you wearing a crown. What was that all about?
That's actually one of Jerry Lawler's crowns.
Oh, one of his real crowns?
We had a show in Nashville, Tennessee, and in like this back room, they found like a crown just sitting there, and one of the guys in the office, Jeff Jones, he was like, "Oh, put that crown on. You'd be the Burger King. Take the Jerry Lawler's crown on," and took that picture, and that's
what happens.
Yeah.
So, and as far as the merch that you have, cheeseburger shirt, you know, what else do you hand out like sliders to kids as you're walking to the ring or anything?
No,
like this?
That's something I want to do. I want to get like little like tiny like stuffed burgers or something to hand out to kids. Or I have like this burger hat I come out with sometimes to the ring.
Hat?
Yeah.
What's a burger hat?
I don't think I brought it today. It's just a hat that's shaped like a cheeseburger. I found it like a thrift store for like $4.
Well, that's the thing. You got to embrace it, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to be cheeseburger, go all the way with it, man. You know? I remember when I was a kid, there's these little gum burgers. There was like a gum bun.
Yes. I know what you're talking about.
Hand out those. Saw those at the merch stand. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because I would assume that, like, you know, like I said, in a roster of... You know, I don't know how many guys Ring of Honor has, 40 guys, let's say. You're going to know the top 10 guys just because you do. Mm-hmm. And then there's kind of going to be a middle where you're not sure which guy is which. Yeah. Everyone knows Cheeseburger.
Yeah.
So it actually turned out to be a great thing.
Yeah.
So are you a big fan of Japanese wrestling?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Who's your favorites?
Liger. I always love watching stuff from Muda. A little bit of Takada here and there, and I, of course, love the juniors. I love out of the current crop of New Japan guys. I love Nakamura, Kushida. And big fan of Ghetto and Jado, especially like I love just watching them with those guys work heel. You're
former alumni of this podcast, Jado.
I actually listened to that one like a few weeks ago. I love that episode.
Yeah, we were the crazy team back in the '90s, but they were always into Memphis wrestling and Southern style wrestling. That's kind of where they molded their style to use a lot of those elements for New Japan, which you can see.
Oh yeah,
you know
they actually. Every time they come over, I'll give them like one of my shirts, and like it's a picture of like Ghetto, like the cheeseburger shirt you have, the like the Burger King ripoff one. He actually has there's a picture of him like wearing that.
So when you're talking about, you know, you had your first victory, and you're working every weekend, are you starting to get more of a shot in the ring? Like when you first started, were they more just squash matches?
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm starting to get like a little bit longer matches, a little bit more of a not just so much. Stop at the beginning, beat down, maybe one move, you know, pin. It's a little bit like a little bit more more even, but you know, I still work to my size, and it's still like I know I'm the underdog and the crowd wants to see me like for the most part of the match, you know, get my ass kicked and then finally make that big underdog comeback.
Who are some of the guys that you've worked with in Ring of Honor that you enjoy working with?
I actually had my my dream match that I wanted for a long time last weekend against Adam Cole.
All right.
I just actually, they just put it up and I watched it the other day. Adam Cole, he's just, he's amazing. I love Jay Lethal, our current world champion. He's, I've had two matches with him both. He's absolutely a pleasure to be in the ring with.
So when you're working with these guys, and are they, I mean, obviously we're always just waiting for somebody to get over. And mm-hmm. and if you have somebody like yourself that the people are cheering for, mm-hmm. it's probably quite easy to work with you. Like,
oh, yeah.
Do you get some really good spots during some of those matches where people are like, ah, Cheeseburger's going to make the X upset?
Yeah. Is the match I had with Adam Cole that I was just talking about, we did something where like I went for the Cobra Clutch and it's like, oh, Cheeseburger almost has him. Then boom, he just shuts me back down. And during the match, he hit me with something and pulled me up and got on the mic and started doing live commentary during the match while beating me up. Mm-hmm. And he turns around and starts to call me a son of, and then I come up with the big palm strike. And I go for the big pin. The whole crowd bought that pin.
Thought that was it.
Yeah.
So is that your finishing move, the palm strike?
Yes.
That's actually pretty smart because anybody, you know, you catch somebody across the jaw mm-hmm. with that, it would work.
Yeah.
You know, and you can give it to anybody. That's the secret of a good finishing move.
True. Yeah. And I like to use it as a tribute, you know.
Yeah. Well, plus you were hand-picked to keep Liger's legacy alive.
There's actually a promo we did in New York there where he like teaches me the palm strike in the promo, and I use it on like my friend Will at the end.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He actually showed it to you.
Yeah.
Was he speaking English or Japanese?
English.
Okay.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit HelloAlma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's HelloAlma.com/therapy60.
So when did you start working with Ring of Honor then?
Since pretty much right when I first started training, I started, like I said, October 2010, and right off the bat, I was going on the road with them, helping out at shows, paying my dues, putting up the ring, doing whatever job was necessary, and still going to training like 2 or 3 times a week.
And so, how have you seen the company grow over the last 5 years?
Every single year since we've been bought by Sinclair Broadcasting, which they had the buyout in 2012, and then we started getting on TV, has been growing. Like just this year, we got the Destination America deal. You know, we're doing more stuff with New Japan. Like next year, we're having like a couple of shows in Japan, which we have a deal with this promotion in Europe, which we got this year, which they have a tour coming up with that. So every single year, there's like something new, something like different that's coming out. So it's been growing steadily ever since.
What was the buzz behind the scenes when that Destination America deal came up? Because it was kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
And I think it almost was like TNA didn't even know about it.
Nope. Literally, to the best of my knowledge, only 4 people knew about it. Like, I think Delirious, the COO, Joe Koff, and maybe Gary Juster, who's head of operations in the office.
Gary's working with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
No kidding. I didn't know that. Yeah, Gary used to work for WCW for years.
Yeah.
I didn't know that Gary was working with you.
Yeah, he's head of operations, I believe.
Oh, that's great. Well, that's a long-term experience guy.
Yeah.
For sure. He worked with WCW for years and years and years.
Yeah, I remember he was a judge for one of the, was it Flair Sting matches?
I don't know. When I was there, I think he was helping book the shows.
Really?
As far as book the live events and that sort of thing. From what I recall, kind of a guy who did a little bit of everything.
Hmm.
You know, it's probably what he does in Ring of Honor as well. So you're just sitting at home one night and Ring of Honor's on Destination America? Or was there, when
yeah,
did you
they,
find
out? When I was at the dojo, Delirious told me, like, oh, check, make sure you check Twitter tomorrow. I was like, okay. And I was like, no, something big must be happening. But I thought it was like, just like, okay, maybe we're bringing in like some new guys, some like top name Japanese talent or something like that, you know? And then like the Destination America thing hit and like nobody in for Ring of Honor knew about, except for like those three people, and like mm-hmm. it's mind blowing because we were on mainstream television now.
Do you ever get recognized when you walk out on the streets or anything like that?
Actually, no. I've only been recognized once, like outside of like a wrestling environment, and it's actually by an exterminator that came to my house. He was like spraying my room, and I have this lanyard from like one of the live events that I keep where it says like ROH security or something like that, and it just says cheeseburger on it. And he looks at it, and like he comes out of my room, he's like, "Hey, excuse me, are you Cheeseburger?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Oh yeah, I've seen some of your stuff. I know Ring of Honor," and like just talk about Ring of Honor for a few minutes.
Makes you feel good, right?
Yeah.
It's funny too, because like for me, like I said, like you don't even understand. There's so many guys that want to do this show, mm-hmm. and I have so many guests, and it's booked up, and it's like, you know, I got a lot of musicians and this and everything. But Cheeseburger, I had to have Cheeseburger on. So to me, I'm thinking Cheeseburger is the top, like, most recognized name in Ring of Honor. But of course, you know, like, not a lot of people know Cheeseburger yet. That's why we're going to bring the cheese to the masses,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Show people what's up with the burger around here. You know, so have you, you've never been to Japan before?
No, that's my dream right now.
That's a dream to go. Yes. Is it something that you think you might be able to do?
I believe so. I think in the near future, I think I will be going.
If you guys go do those shows over there,
I think they're going to work to get me over.
They're there. Thinking about it. You'd so. Probably get over in Japan.
You think so?
Well, because they like, you know, underdogs. They like, I'm not saying this in a bad way, they like weird characters. Like weird,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Cheeseburger with like, cheese. I can hear him singing it right now.
All the Japanese shit. Girls.
Oh, yeah. Cheeseburger. Cheese. Because, like, that's what I said. Like, you really have – that's one thing. But, like, if you watch, like, a Spike Dudley or those mm-hmm. type of guys, Mikey Whipwreck was so mm-hmm. good at it, embracing the fact that, okay, I will be the underdog,
yes.
like you said. And people get behind it, mm-hmm. you know. And that's how you can – you slip over one time on the crazy, on the big heel, and suddenly that people would believe that it can happen.
Yeah. Speaking of Spike Dudley, I love his heel stuff in the Cruiserweight division. Like maybe 04 or 05
mm-hmm.
like when he was the boss and like kind of like he's like bossing around like Bubba and Devon
yeah
that was so good.
What else did you like when you were watching WWE?
Of course I love Rey Mysterio.
Yeah,
absolutely love him. Big fan of your work, of course.
Well, you have to say that because you're on my show.
Of course. I was always a big fan of Edge and Christian as well. I always love their stuff, and just like not just their ring work, but just how they became like these goofy characters. Like, and they fully embrace like the goofiness.
Mm-hmm.
Like the same thing with Kurt Angle.
Team Eck. Remember Team Eck? Edge, Christian, and Kurt.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I completely forgot about Team Eck. They had one of Rhino too, right?
Rhino was in there with them as well. But that's how it works, though. Is like you said, you have to, you know, whatever direction that you're kind of moving in, you have to embrace it and go with it.
Yep.
You know, so tell me some of the other stuff about Ring of Honor as far as guys that are at the top and guys that are on their way onto the top.
Guys that are on top right now are Jay Lethal, the Briscoes. Do you know the Briscoes?
I know. I met them. They're crazy looking guys.
Oh, they are amazing. They're like. They're like they have these characters, but they're not characters. They're just themselves.
It's and what
like,
are they?
They're these like redneck chicken farmers, but
from like Delaware, or
yeah,
something,
from
right?
like the middle of nowhere, Delaware. But they're like they're just so entertaining, so great. It's just
they're like northern rednecks.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah,
and people and they work their asses off.
Oh
too.
Yeah, they've been doing this since they were like 13, 14.
Wow.
Like, yeah, like almost like 12 years each, I think. As far as guys coming up, we have this guy, Dalton Castle. I don't know if you've
love him.
You seen him?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Dalton Castle is one of my favorite acts in wrestling right now.
Well, and let's talk about that for a second, because when I watched that Ring of Honor, I hadn't seen it before. And that's not from being a snob. I just mm-hmm. don't watch a lot of wrestling because yeah. I'm doing other stuff. But watching that show, obviously I love Cheeseburger, but Dalton Castle was the guy mm-hmm. that really stood out for me because of his character. But I wasn't really too sure what his character is.
I've heard them describe this pretty much like a modern day Liberace.
That's kind of what it is, but it's also a little bit. I got a little bit of Randy Savage in there too, where it's not all over the top. It's very flamboyant and swishy wishy.
Yeah.
But there's some real intensity in there.
Yeah,
too.
he's this flamboyant character, but he's legit. You know, he can throw you around, like pick you up, like mm-hmm. slam you down. He's legit once he gets in that ring. He's just flamboyant and goofy.
Right, but there's like I said, there's a, and that's what makes some of those characters work if you're playing kind of a flamboyant, mm-hmm. quote-unquote goofy character. But if you can turn up the steam and get serious,
yeah.
then you can make people believe yeah. what's going on, you know? And the fans are responding to him as well?
Of course, yeah. He was just a guy we brought in. He came in earlier this year for this tournament we do every year called the Top Prospect Tournament, where we'll bring like eight fresh faces in and see how the fans react to them. And like at the end of it, usually like two or three guys will like get a contract out of it. And like Dalton Castle, he had like on his first appearance, he was the most over guy on the show, where he had like, you know, the two manservants, like
the boys.
Yeah, the boys, the angel's wings he has when he or the peacock wings he has when yeah. he comes out.
Oh, he wears peacock wings when he comes out?
Like, the boys will, like, get in the ring and, like, kind of, like, cover him up with the fans. And then
oh, right.
he'll, like, boil these, like, gigantic, like, silver, like, see-through wings that come up.
Oh, okay. That's cool. So, I mean, you mentioned that you're working quite often. So, if there's a road trip, how does that work for you? Do you meet up with other guys and travel with them? Do you drive yourself?
Usually, we'll get, like, we or, like, the company will get, like, a minivan. And we'll pack up, like, a... like six of us in the minivan, and also we'll have like a few people will go in the ring trucks, which will have like, you know, the ring, all the production equipment. Sometimes we'll have one truck, two trucks, and then we'll meet usually like at the dojo and travel to where we are like a day early.
Where's the dojo at in Philly?
Bristol, PA, which is like 20-25 minutes away from Philly.
Okay,
it's
so
just like this small town.
Where's the so you go there and meet there?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone gets into the van.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the longest trip that you guys have taken?
Me personally, the longest I've had is actually a few weeks ago. I drove down to Texas, which is like 30 hours.
That's a long way.
Yeah, San Antonio, Texas.
Are you driving?
Yep. We had it was four of us. We went down the minivan to San Antonio.
But were you driving?
Oh, yeah. Yourself? Yeah.
So yes. You're the young boy. You got to drive, right?
Hey, there's some more. I'm not the young. Not so much the young boy anymore. We got some newer students now that we are the newer young boys.
So do you boss them around now?
Yeah.
Cheeseburgers boss. Well, you got 5 years now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So how is it for you driving all that way? What do you guys do to pass the time?
Music, you know, tell stories, make fun of each other. Much the usual.
What else is there, right?
What's that?
What else is there?
Yeah, yeah.
You guys have ever had any, like, flat tires or breakdowns or anything like that?
Actually, no. You know, surprisingly, no real flat tires, no... You know, we're kind of overdue for one. I would say that. Not with the fans. We've had plenty of times where the ring truck is broken down.
Mm.
I will say that.
Do you ever ride in the ring truck?
Yeah, yeah. I don't drive the truck though. I never.
That's hard to do.
I've never driven the truck, but sometimes I'll ride in.
You know what a good thing to do to pass the time is play the. Have you ever played the wrestler game, the wrestler alphabet game?
Okay. The wrestler name game.
Yeah. So,
oh yes.
Yeah. But how does it work?
I've heard different versions. The version I know is you say a name, if it's just one name, like say Christian, I think you would take the N at the end of Christian and then someone would have to start with N.
And then you have to start, yeah, like Negro Casas, and
yes.
then you have to do an S or whatever,
yes.
right? That's one way of doing it.
Yeah.
And then the other way of doing it is actually you have to go alphabetically, which is hard because whoever gets X, like there's like two or three X's,
yeah.
you know what I mean? So Jim Cornette used to be able to play that, and he would know, like he could bring out like, you know, Xerxes from Continental Championship Wrestling in 1962. So he would play, you never knew if he was.
Yeah.
So I would always bust out Zap the Galaxian. That ain't no wrestler. It's like, no, it's a guy from Calgary who was called Zap the Galaxian. And he could never prove me wrong because he didn't know the Calgary territory. Of course, I made it up. So if Cornette's listening, that's exactly
I always did pretty well at it because I'm just this huge wrestling nerd. So even like these like obscure indie guys, like we have the rule, like if you can Google the guy, you know, he counts. So like I always know like these obscure like indie guys that like wrestle in the middle of nowhere just because I'm so like ingrained of like – I want to be like the know-it-all and like know.
So what? Because they have like X names or Z names or which ones are you using that are obscure?
Usually I can find someone with like say like a K or something like that. Usually like K's and like X's and.
Do you know how many X's is there?
I can only think of one X right now, and that's Xavier, who was the second Ring of Honor World Champion back like way back.
Well, there's Xavier today. Woods now.
Oh, Xavier Woods.
There's two of them.
Yeah.
So I win.
Hey, is there another X?
Because like Dr. X wouldn't count.
No.
Right?
I can't think of another X.
I think there was another one we used to use was Santa Claus.
Oh,
I think they spelt that with an X.
Yeah, it was spelt with an X. You're right.
Now I'm doubly beating you, cheeseburger. Come on, man. You got to catch up.
Boom, boom, psh.
So what's coming up for you over the next few months, Ring of Honor wise?
Ring of Honor wise, we have we're currently next year we're kind of expanding some new markets. I think we're going back to Vegas. We're going back down to North Carolina and stuff like that. And we're just building up on our. I think we're currently doing four live pay-per-views a year, so we're kind of like setting those up. So like fans always know where they're at before we try and do any more. You know, they know like, okay, the anniversary show is a live pay-per-view, and that's in February. And then we have we have All Star Extravaganza, which we just had, which is in like September. You know, and so fans know like, all right, every like so and so months we have these live pay-per-views.
You know, it's interesting listening to you talk. You keep saying we and us, and you really, this is your company. You really believe in this, don't you?
This is my home. I grew up here. You know, I was just this skinny 17-year-old kid, and I'm this skinny 22-year-old kid that's been here for 5 years, and this is my home.
You're only 22, and you started yourself. What did your parents say, your mom or your dad say when you told them you're gonna get into this?
My mom was completely supportive of it. She knows a little bit about wrestling, but not much about it. She just worries about me getting hurt, but she was completely supportive of it. Actually, funny story about my mom. The first day I trained, you know, you have to put down like a $900 deposit. It's non-refundable. So we, you know, first day, we do like a lot of yoga, and then for the new guys, they do like circuits, you know, squats, push-ups, and stuff like that. So we do like the yoga stretching, and I'm like done. Like I'm done after like 5 minutes of doing like this yoga. Like Delirious and Daisy, they do some really intense like stuff with the yoga, and like I was done after like 5 minutes of it. And we still had like 15 to go. So I did that. I didn't even do like squats and push-ups and stuff my first day. That was like the next day. But like,
you couldn't even make it through the yoga.
Yeah, yeah. And so I got in the car with my mom, and I go, I don't want to come back here tomorrow. I'm done. And she's like, well, we kind of already put down the deposit, so maybe just give it one more day. You know, I was like, all right, I'll give it one more day, and that was it.
And one more day led to another day, and led to another day.
Another day.
Do you ever have people, like even for me, people will say, like, you're a wrestler? Like, not that it happens too much anymore, but it used to quite a bit. You'd be bigger.
All the time.
Yeah.
My favorite is, like, if I have, like, a wrestling shirt, and they're like, oh, you're a wrestler? I'm like, yeah. Oh, what weight division? I'm like, I just started telling people heavyweight.
Yeah. And that's the thing, because I'm sure people go, you wrestle?
Yep.
No.
My doctor still doesn't believe I wrestle. I had shoulder surgery like 2 years ago, and when I told him how it happened, like he's just the most like just completely patronizing. Oh, like, oh yeah, you wrestle. Oh yeah, okay, of course, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the worst. His last name is actually DiBiase, which is kind of funny.
Oh, there you go. He should know more about his wrestling, right?
Yeah.
So what are some of your, you're talking about the WWE, we're sitting here in Trenton. Mm-hmm. Have you been in this arena before?
Yeah, I've been in this arena two or three times for, two times for house shows. I came like maybe 2011 with my cousin, and I had one when I was really young. I can't remember how old I was. I came to a house show here. I was maybe like 11 or 12, and I had actually just gotten a cavity removed, so like I'm still like
a cavity out. Removed,
yeah, or filled. Cavity filled.
They just cut that damn thing out.
So I came like I don't remember much from the show because I was still like woozy from like the
high
anesthesia.
Yeah. So who matches have you seen here? Do you remember seeing any matches here? Because we come here quite a bit. It seems like we're always at this place.
The last time I was here, I remember the one match I remember was what was it? When I was really young, I remember seeing Kane here, and I just remember the feeling of Kane's pyro. Actually, I think that might have been a SmackDown when I came here. Yeah, I just remember the heat from Kane's pyro on my face, and that's like the one memory I have from like that being high on that anesthesia.
I wonder how old you were, because I remember coming here for a SmackDown. It was a long time ago, like probably 15 years ago. Were you coming when you were like 7 years old?
No, I don't think
not that young, right?
Not that young.
What's your favorite match you've ever seen?
My
favorite one that stands out?
My favorite match of all time is Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Minoru Suzuki for New Japan. October, I was trying to remember the dates of my favorite matches. October 8th, 2012, I want to say. For the IWGP heavyweight title, and that actually got 5 stars from Meltzer. It was just an absolute masterpiece. So I highly recommend you watch it if you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it. So I love the fact that this whole interview you've been talking about the dates and numbers. You seem to remember those very, very, very completely.
I tried to. I remember the first date I trained. I remember day of my first match, which was May 4th, 2012.
Who was that against?
It was a squash match versus this guy, I think Zach Connors, for a show the Briscoes ran. They ran a show, and they were just like, yeah, I'll get cheeseburger at the squash match.
Were you Cheeseburger then?
No, I was like Lee Slonda. And like,
but your nickname was Cheeseburger.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had a mask, and I didn't have any gear. So like, my friend Bird and the Bravado brothers, they went to like a thrift store and found these like really like these like puke yellow tights, and they had like a big stain on them, and they gave me those, and I just wore that and like my wrestling shoes, like no shirt.
Yeah, so squash. So a minute, 2 minutes?
Yeah, like 2 minutes.
What'd you get paid?
I actually got paid. The Briscoes were nice. They gave me like $40 for that.
What?
First match? Yeah.
That's more than I made for my first match.
Yeah, I didn't see that much for a long time though after that.
Oh, that was the big one. Yeah, I only made $30. It was my first match. so for you now, you're 22 years old. Mm-hmm. Did you finish high school?
Yes.
Okay, so you got that under your belt. So what's your overall plan? I mean, do you see yourself becoming Ring of Honor champion? Do you see yourself coming to the WWE?
Right. I prefer to set like small goals and try and accomplish those, and like long ones. Like my first, you know, like I was training. My first goal is to have a Ring of Honor match. Okay, now I want to be on Ring of Honor TV. Okay, I got that. Now, like my current goals are to get overseas, either to Europe or Japan. We're mainly Japan, but also Europe, which I'm working on both of those. Also to get a Ring of Honor contract. I'd like to be a fully contracted employee. I'm currently not. So I mean, that's another goal of mine. And then, you know, just to get bigger and bigger matches in Ring of Honor and accomplish that. So like one step, I like to go one step at a time.
Which is smart.
Yeah.
So right now you just get paid like a per show appearance type of a thing, but you want to get that contract.
Yes.
See, here's the thing. Ring of Honor, if you're listening, I believe you're the first Ring of Honor guy that's been on Talk is Jericho.
Yeah, yeah.
I think AJ Styles was on, but he was probably more New Japan at the time. But this is because of Cheeseburger. I want more Cheeseburger. Cheeseburger should have a contract. I think that all the fans should stand behind Cheeseburger and get him a contract.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Yeah. Exactly.
Cheeseburger. Chris Jericho wants more cheeseburger.
More cheeseburger. What's your favorite match that you've ever had?
Ooh. Probably I had my first Ring of Honor match, I would say, which was July 10th, I think. It was like a week after my birthday. July 10th in Chicago. It was me and Roderick Strong versus Red Dragon for the Ring of Honor World tag titles. And that was actually not supposed to be a title match. They advertised it wrong as a title match. So they were like, all right, we got to give Cheeseburger a title shot in this first match. And
first match.
Yep.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. I was freaking out.
And did the people already know you because of the Charlie Haas angle?
Yes. Yes.
Because Ring of Honor fans are very loud. They remind me a lot of kind of old school ECW fans where they're really into it, really screaming and cheering. What kind of chance do you get?
Usually just Cheeseburger. Okay. Now like the new version of it.
Yeah. You ever make mistakes and they chant you f***ed up or anything like that?
Oh, yeah.
What's your worst mistake you ever had?
Ah, you put me on the spot.
That's when you say I don't make mistakes, man. How about springboards are hard? Did you ever fall off the ropes for that?
Yes. That's that would be it. That would be it.
When did that happen? What was the date?
Austin, you're putting me on the spot.
May 6th, 2012 versus Roderick Strong. You slipped off the rope. People started laughing and chanting, you f***ed up.
That's right. If it happened versus Roddy, he would pull me right in the ring and just chop me like 10 times.
That's how it works, right? Yep. You make a mistake, you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Cheeseburger, it's been great talking to you, man.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to see what happens in the future at Ring of Honor. So if people have never seen you before, do they take you seriously? Do they give you some offense, or do you just have to work on it? Or now that you're still building your name, if someone didn't know you and just saw you sitting there, it'd be like, gosh, this guy's so small.
I think now, usually, like, everywhere I go, people kind of, like, recognize me and know of me. So, like, I don't have any trouble, like, calling matches or, like, getting offense in.
That's great. Because the scene up here, the independent scene in the Northeast, is fairly strong, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
So there's a lot of shows around here and a lot of people, a lot of different companies and a lot of the same fans, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So do you work for other different companies quite often?
Here and there. I'm usually always with Ring of Honor, so like I very rarely have a chance to like go to other indies. Like usually, like when someone will try to book me, I'm like, oh, sorry, I can't. I have Ring of Honor. Even if I'm not wrestling for Ring of Honor, I still go and like do the ring crew and all that, and I just like to be around the shows. So whenever I can, I usually will.
You know the one thing that you're missing?
What's that?
You need a catchphrase.
Yes. Delirious actually just said that to me like 2 weeks ago. He said like he went over to New Japan and he was saying how like almost everyone in New Japan has like a big like a signature move and like a catchphrase or something or some kind of action that goes to that signature move that like the whole crowd like does together. Like Kojima will do like he'll do like an elbow in the corner and stuff, like a top rope elbow drop. And I think in Japan he yells like, "I'm gonna get you, bastard," or something like that.
In Japanese, yeah.
In Japanese, sorry.
Right.
Yeah, and like the whole crowd will like chant like, "I'm going to get you, bastard."
Right.
However you say it.
So what are you going to do? What have you been thinking about?
I don't know. I thought about Burger Time, but
Burger Time.
I don't like Burger Time too much. I've heard people like. I've thought about that, but.
Well, like you know, if you were born a child of the '80s, like me, that was a wicked video game, Burger Time.
Was it?
It was. Yeah, actually, look it up. It's called Burger Time, and the concept of the video game was you had to build burgers by stepping across. So you step across the bun, it would fall. Uh-huh. Then you step across a patty, and it would fall. But these little things of salt and pepper and ketchup are chasing you, and if they catch you, you die. So that was Burger Time.
Sounds right? Amazing.
So you would like say Burger Time before you do a big finish?
Yeah.
All right. Because like, feel the cheese.
Mm.
Yeah. No, yeah. Not that one. Easy peasy filled with cheesy. No.
Not I've heard it can't. It isn't easy. It ain't easy being cheesy. That's been pitched to me a few times. So.
But that's not really it, though, right?
No.
It ain't easy being cheesy. That's okay. I mean, you could say that a little bit. That could be your secondary catchphrase.
Yeah.
Burger Time. It ain't easy being cheesy. It's not bad.
Have you ever seen the remake of Longest Yard with Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
You remember the Cheeseburger Eddie from that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, played by Terry Crews. Yeah.
That's right. He was Cheeseburger Eddie.
Yeah.
And why was he Cheeseburger Eddie again?
He was always sneaking like McDonald's to like the
right.
people in the prison.
There you go. Yeah. See, that's what you have to do. Is you have to get some kind of a sponsorship with like McDonald's or Burger King or Hardee's or something like that. You know, then you're making the big cheese.
Yeah. Yep.
Big cheese. That's the big cheese. I'm the big cheese. We turn heel.
I'm the
big cheese, man. The big cheese is here. Step aside. Big cheese is here. Right?
All right, the big cheese.
You don't go any further without the burger. It's hard because there's nothing that rhymes with burger. Burger, further, burger, worger. Nothing rhymes with burger, right? So we're going to stick with the cheese. Ain't easy being cheesy. You're the big cheese.
The big cheese. I kind of like the big cheese.
All right, well, keep that in mind. If you end up using it, you can have it for 10% of your profits.
Okay.
Sounds good?
Yeah, it sounds good. That's pretty fair.
Podcast One has a holiday gift for anyone who likes to watch people get punched in the face. Come on, who doesn't? I mean, besides that guy, who doesn't?
Seriously, right?
That's why we're giving you another whole year of awesome shows from Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Jim Ross, and Chael Sonnen. Which means you'll get your fill of the biggest names and biggest stories in pro wrestling, MMA, and UFC.
You're welcome.
Subscribe on iTunes now to Steve Austin, Talk is Jericho, The Ross Report, or You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. This way you'll never miss a devastating armbar. And of course, you can always get everything you need at podcastone.com.
All right, thanks to my new favorite wrestler, Cheeseburger from Ring of Honor. Do yourself a favor. Check him out on Ring of Honor. You can watch him anywhere. His ring gear and gimmick are amazing. And once you see him, you'll understand why fans are loving him. You heard him. What's not to love about Cheeseburger? What a great, great, humble, nice guy. Great to see him show up. He's like the skinniest guy ever, and he just kicks it in the ring. I'm a big, big Cheeseburger fan. He's my new favorite wrestler, and I'm glad you got to hear him today. And my old favorite sponsor here on Talk is Jericho is Amazon. Longest running sponsor of the show, easiest way to support the show, use the TIJ links and you can find them by going to podcastone.com, click on the Killer Deals button in the right top corner of the page, then hit that Talk is Jericho button. I got the links for the USA, the UK, the Canada. Every time you use them links, Amazon kicks back a small percentage to this show to help us cover production costs. No hidden fees or extra charges. Just think about anything you want to buy on Amazon. It's got the best prices and help out this show as well. Podcastone.com, Killer Deal button on the top right hand corner of the page, hit the Talk is Jericho button and help the show out. Thank you for listening today. Make sure to keep on listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. I thank you to Cheeseburger. Thanks to the Sklar Brothers. Oh, rest in power, Lemmy. We still love you. We miss you, man. And we will see you next week. next Wednesday on this Happy New Year, the first week of 2016. What a huge guest. I got the return of Hollywood legend William Shatner is back. And if you liked the first episode, wait to hear this one. The Shat is on fire. Bill is on fire. I'm on fire. You're on fire. Stay hard, stay hungry, and a big yeah, boy, for 2016. We love
you. You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.